Praise God. I want to thank my brother for when we were praying for that scripture that the Lord put upon his heart. Dave, was that you? I thought that was your voice. Yes. Yes, thank you. Appreciate that, man. That was so timely. And then that was Psalm 27? 27. Praise God. You know, in that psalm, it mentions God protecting us and delivering us from our enemies. That is so timely. I was in a pastor's meeting, a pastor's luncheon Thursday, and after a really wonderful meal of pork chops and tiramisu and all kinds of good stuff, salad, we had a discussion about the state of our country. I don't know if there's anybody in here that's ever gotten discouraged about the state of our country, particularly the moral climate of our country. Surely there's somebody in here, I would imagine. And the word enemy came up. And so Brett Hicks asked one of the men there, well, who do you see the enemy as? And the man, you know, just very, you know, honestly and just kind of candidly said, well, you know, anybody who really is against the principles of God and his word and things like that. And Brett said, well, you know, Scripture teaches that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We're fighting a spiritual war. And the enemy is not the man or woman next to us. It's the spirit that's in the world that blinds them and drives them to do all those various things. And as you were reading that, I thought it was so timely, because although David at that time may have had political enemies or enemies in the natural and the flesh, ultimately the battle is between God, Christ, and the enemy, Satan and his hordes and armies of darkness. That's what Scripture teaches. And so what Satan would like to use for evil and would like to use for destruction, God can use for good and for his glory and for our blessing. And he can be magnified in the face of those trials. And we were talking about in that discussion how, you know, we, because of our zeal, which is a good thing, however, sometimes it might be a little misdirected, we tend to misinterpret who the enemy is. And in our zeal, we want to attack flesh and blood rather than the spiritual forces of wickedness that we're really, in reality, doing battle with. And another pastor that was there that I hadn't seen in several months who was able to make it, he used to, before he went into the ministry full-time, used to work in the legislature. And he had some very just engaging stories to tell. I really believe it was the Holy Spirit, because I prayed before I got there. I was like, Lord, you know, don't let this just be some, you know, pig out, you know, pork festival and stuff. Well, we just really want you to be there. And he began to share these stories, and they were so timely. And he said, you know, when he was in legislature once, there was a bill that was up that someone had put forth that would prohibit corporal punishment in Maryland. It would prohibit people from being able to spank their children. Now, obviously, there's limitations on that. Scripture does say that, you know, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And there is a place for corporal punishment if it's administered lovingly and, you know, within reason and at the appropriate times or ages. But there are a lot of people who, just because of certain modern psychologists, say, well, it should never be done. And so there was this bill passed to prohibit Christians from administering corporal punishment in a biblical manner to their children. And a lot of the, you know, there was a call and a prayer request went out, and all kinds of people were bombarding them with emails and phone calls and all this kind of stuff. And this pastor happened to be working with one of the key people that was handling this piece of legislation. God, I believe, had placed him there, like he placed, you know, Joseph and Daniel and Moses in high places in government. And so he had an opportunity, he had this door of opportunity to speak personally to this woman because they worked together. But before he really did, he just kind of built on that relationship and just kind of drew close to her and befriended her and began to take notice of her and the things that were happening in her life. And one day the Lord seemed to open this door of opportunity. And as they were sitting there together, he felt the Spirit lead him to really broach her about this piece of legislation. And as he did, he saw the tension in her face, and he could see the weight upon her shoulders. It looked like she was emotionally being crushed. And I believe the Spirit opened his eyes to that. And so before he really just went on about what he had to say, he said, "You know, I noticed that you seem to be under a lot of pressure lately, and I could just sense the tension in you. And that must be awfully hard. Is there anything I can do? Can I pray for you? Is there anything, you know, I can be of assistance at all?" And that simple word just seemed to be the key that unlocked the door. And she just sort of broke in a very subdued way. But in her spirit, she broke before him. And she said, "You know, it's just so hard sometimes. It's just so hard in the things we have to deal with here." And he mentioned that he had wanted to after a while, he mentioned he wanted to talk to her about that legislation. And all of a sudden, she said, "You know, I've been getting so many calls about that thing, and I just don't understand why people are so angry. They call up here and they're so vehement, and I don't get you pastors. What are you so angry about? I mean, it's spanking." You know, she said, "You know, we face the things we're trying to control in this world. In this world, we've got, you know, rapists out there. We've got gang violence. We've got drugs that is just ripping our society apart. We've got all kinds of crime and dysfunction that our society is just being, you know, I don't even know how we're going to make it. And you guys are calling up here, raising all kind of fuss over spanking a kid. What in the world is the problem? What makes you so angry?" Well, rather than just, you know, pull out a sword and start, you know, slicing her up, "Don't you realize that Scripture says," and blah, 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 and on, he says, "You know, I hear your heart. And yeah, you know, it's hard. It is hard in this world. And we're faced with a lot of enormous responsibility in trying to rescue people out of these situations." He said, "But you know what? What we're dealing with, the reason why people are so passionate about this is because we have rapists and murderers and gang violence and crime just exploding and families being disintegrated and our culture coming apart at the seams. And if we can reach our children and show them from the outset, before they even get to that point, the difference between right and wrong, and nurture that understanding." He says, "If we don't do that, if we don't reach our kids and help them to gain that understanding, it's going to get so bad that even a police state won't be able to control the problems in our land. I mean, it's just going to explode. But if we can reach our kids, if we can be that loving, firm, you know, nurturing parent, and we can use tools like these in an appropriate way, we can change our kids before they even get to that point." And the Holy Spirit just anointed that word to her, and all of it, he said, the light just broke on her face. It was like something in the Spirit just broke like chains, and he said that her countenance literally transformed before his very eyes. And that understanding came about, and she began to dialogue with him, and by the end of the conversation, she was like, "I am sorry. I didn't understand. We have got to get this legislation out of here. This is just terrible." And God, in that little setting, you know, sitting there one-on-one, face-to-face, heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit, God did an amazing, mighty move, and that legislation just went right out the door. That's the power of a word of encouragement. That's the power of simply sitting down and connecting with someone one-on-one. And amen, I want to see revival. I want to see God move in mighty, powerful ways where he just sweeps with his power across our community and our region. Absolutely, and that doesn't diminish that at all. But you know what? As a part of that, sometimes we don't want to lose sight of the fact that sometimes it's in those quiet moments, one-on-one with somebody, that God moves the most profoundly and deeply and powerfully. And our enemy is not those people who disagree with us. In fact, that disagreement simply becomes the point of ministry, the entranceway so that we can reach out to them and connect and speak into their life. But the enemy is the enemy. The enemy is the forces of darkness. Praise God. And so when we get discouraged in trying to witness the people in our culture, and we see our culture just sliding head first like on a grease slide to hell, rather than get discouraged, I just want to encourage you that there is a whole lot that we can do, and it doesn't require, as much as I am all about marching and letter writing and phone calling and the whole nine yards and prayer meetings, it's not always about that. Sometimes it's as simple as looking at the person next to you in your day-to-day life and asking the Holy Spirit to open that door to speak into their life. And I don't care how bad the culture gets, that door will always be there if the Holy Spirit leads. And we want to look at a guy today named Barnabas, and we want to get a clue from him because he faced a very similar situation, and we want to find out from him how he was able to make an impact for the kingdom of God in a culture that was totally gone wild around him. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, verse 19, appreciate your allowing me to share that story. I took a little bit longer than I thought I would, but it just touched me, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit that brought that about this week. We're going to look at Acts chapter 11, verse 19, continuing in our study of the book of Acts. And before we put when we put the scripture up here that you can look at if you'd like, there's a word in here, Hellenists, that you're going to see early in the passage. That word, in the past in the book of Acts, we said that was a bunch of Greek-speaking Jews. They were Jews who were very cultured in the Greek language and arts. But in this particular passage, just so that you understand, that word there really doesn't refer to Greek-speaking Jews. They're speaking there about Gentiles, non-Jews, people who weren't brought up in the Old Testament, people who are totally foreign in their thought to the God of Israel. So I've got the word Gentiles next to that, and all the commentators agree that this is who they're referring to in there. It really shouldn't be rendered Hellenists. All the other translations, NIV and NASB, have that rendered as Greeks, meaning the Gentiles. So, for what it's worth. Acts 11:19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Who were they preaching to? Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Gentiles, the Hellenists, but the Gentiles, the non-Jews, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, which was all Jews, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord.